Okay, let's begin. This week is Parshas Vayichi, Shabbos Chazak, the first Chazak of the season. The parsha begins. Vayichi Yaakov Beretz Mitzrayim Shvash Reishona. It's a Parsha Stuma. There is no empty space between this week's Parsha and last week's Parsha. Normally, there should be at least 9 letters of empty space between two sections. A Parsha Stuma, Parsha Psucho. Differences to start a new line, but there should be 9 blank spaces. And there is, and Chazal tells us, there really would have been 9 blank spaces, but it's absent. It's lacking because we, by design, Hakadosh Baruch Hu wanted this to be a Parsha Stuma for various reasons. What are the reasons? Rashi quotes 2. There are really 4, but Rashi quotes 2. The first reason is Shekevan in this week's parasha Shenifta Yaakov Avinu Nistemu Einehem V'Libam Shal Yisrael Mitzaras HaShibut Sheschilu L'Shabdam. In this week's parasha the Shibut will begin. Dover Acher Shabikesh L'Galay Sesakeitz L'Bana V'Nistam Imenu. Yaakov wanted to reveal the time of the coming of Mashiach V'Nistam Imenu, and it was concealed. What would have been the advantage of the Kates? We would be able to prepare. If we know when the Kates was, we will be able to put our minds to it and prepare. And when it's open-ended, we don't know when it's coming, then unfortunately we're on autopilot, and we don't make a proper achana for that moment. Okay, now the first thing is a very important word from Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe Feinstein is the question, if Rashi wanted to tell us that Yaakov Avinu was mates and now the hearts and minds of the Jewish people were closed, it should have been sosum after Yaakov dies. When Yaakov Avinu dies, he gathers, comes into his bed, and Yosef cries upon him. That's where there should have been a parsha stuma. That's the part. Why is Vayichi Yaakov? Why is this section? Are we going out of our way to make it sosum when the pasuk says that Yaakov Avinu lived Vayichi Yaakov Beeretz Mitzrayim? So Rav Moshe answers a very shocking, very very powerful Dvar Musar that the Shibud really began in the lifetime of Yaakov, when Yaakov came down to Mitzrayim. Yaakov Avinu does not belong in Mitzrayim. He worked his whole life to return to Eretz Yisrael. Living in Golus in Eretz Mitzrayim Klal Yisrael, the Shvatim, felt complacent. They were living in Eretz Mitzrayim, in the land of Golus, in the Ervas Aretz, and their father Yaakov Avinu, with all of his Kedusha and his honor, was here, and the Jewish people felt complacent to live in Golus. And they didn't even realize and how much trouble they were in. This is the real sorrow of the Shibud. If you're in Golus, and you know you're in Golus, that's not so bad. That's not so terrible, because then you're already on the way out. But if you're living in Golus and you don't feel like you're living in Golus, this is the ultimate stima, the ultimate tsaras hashibud. The tsaras hashibud really started when Yaakov Avinu was alive, those last 17 years, when he was alive. But where was he alive? The Eretz Mitzrayim, in the land of Egypt. Mayor, is this thing with the microphone going down over here? In the land, what?
Can we say at some point that these 17 years were the best 17 years?
Of his life. They were the best 17 years of his life, but it was not the best 17 years of the life of Klal Yisrael, because Klal Yisrael, they felt they were complacent, being that he was with them in Golus, and they felt nothing was wrong. This, Rav Moshe says, is the Iker Tsaras HaShibud, the Iker Stimos Einayim Shel Yisrael, not to sense and appreciate the Churban of being in Golus. And the Musar Haskel for us is that we are living in Golus. Are we really upset? Are we really happy and complacent to be where we are, or does it bother us? Do we really want to go? Talmud of Moshe, does he really want to go for that? So listen, the Limud is the first part in the Limud in Nisan.
That's why he makes the two shtel of the Pesukim.
Yeah.
He says, Vayichi Yaakov, the next passage is Vayikrubu Yimei Yisrael Amos. So God told him that this is, as soon as he saw that he's complacent about it, he's enjoying the...
But that was him, the cold Klal Yisrael.
You serve no purpose anymore.
You're not devoting.
They separate in their Goshen?
Doesn't matter. Goshen is not Eretz Yisrael. Go with all the midrashim that will tell you that Goshen has Kedushas Aretz, you're still living in the Ervas Aretz. And even though Yosef is loving, Yaakov is loving, there's no one is bothering them, you don't belong here. You don't belong here. There's complacency. This complacency is poisonous for Klal Yisrael. This is the beginning of the stima, the beginning of the shibud, even though nothing will happen yet until Yaakov Avinu died. And that's bedafka why there is an absence of nine letters of space in this section. Okay, next short idea. We have two perushim in Rashi. Rashi says that Yaakov Avinu died the second he bikesh legalis zakeitz. So we can suggest al derech drush that these are not two separate reasons. Each reason is the two reasons are totally zeh b'zeh. The reason why Yaakov Avinu was Klal Yisrael was unable to know the zman keitz is because of the tzaras hashibud. What's the problem with tzaras hashibud? What is the purpose of having blank space in between two parashios? Revach. What's the significance of having revach in the Sefer Torah? Why isn't there just a stream of letters? Blank space between two parashios represents the concept of revach lehisplainin bein inyin linyin. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, the Torah Chazal tell us that Moshe Hashem gave Moshe Rabbeinu recess. He gave him a break. He gave him a break in order to understand and to reflect revach lehisplainin bein inyin linyin. The tzara of Golus is there's no revach lehisplainin bein inyin linyin. Things in Golus happen so fast. We're always on the move. We're traveling from one place to another place. We're dealing before we even have time to appreciate what happened. We're already dealing with the next problem. In Golus, the nature of Golus is there is no revach lehisponein bein inyin leinyin. That lack of revach is what prevents us from sensing and appreciating and yearning for the Keitz HaMashiach. The reason why the Keitz HaMashiach was nistam doesn't just mean that it was not revealed to them. It means the ability to bring Mashiach, the ability to take Mashiach, to make it come before its time, was taken away from Klal Yisrael because Yaakov died and the Shibud started, and part of the tzara of the Shibud is there is no revach l'splenin ben inyin l'inyin. The proof to this idea is in the Megillas Esther. What does Esther say to Mordechai? Say the revach v'atzolo yamod la'yudim mokam acher. Before there can be Hatzalah, before there can be a Geula, there must be Revach. Klal Yisrael must be receptive. They have to be in a frame of mind to appreciate what's about to happen. In fact, the Yitzias Mitzrayim took place over a 6-month period of time. It wasn't just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu snapped his finger and all the 10 Makos happened and the Egyptians died. The Makos took place over 6 months. In between each Mako, there was 3 weeks or 4 weeks. Why was there so much time? To give Klal Yisrael the time to appreciate, for it to settle what has happened. Revach lehisponin ben inyin le'in. And when you don't have that revach, then you're not going to have Hatzalah. Therefore, these two things, that's why they go together. Every day, twice a week, Monday, Thursday, we say in the Vurachum, V'hareinu ois l'toiva. So al derech drush, what does it mean? Show us an ois l'toiva. The sign in ois l'toiva. What is toiva? Toiva is tes. The first time the letter appears in the Torah is where it captures the essence. The first letter tes in the Torah is vayar l'kim etz or ki toiv. Toiv is good. What is tes? Tes is 9 spaces. 9. What is the Sefer Torah? There are 9. It's supposed to be a blank space between parsha to parsha. What is tes? Tes is the revach. What are we expecting? Hashem should throw down, the Shemaim should open up and we should see some signs. What we ask Hashem is, give us some revach. Give us. I don't mean revach with the thumb and the finger, but I mean revach means the ability that we should be able to appreciate the events as they unfold. When there's revach l'spoinin ben inyin l'inyin, that is the prerequisite, that is the Hakdama for the Hatzalah, for the Gul that comes next. Okay, let's go to another idea. This week is called as what? This week is we have a there's a beautiful remez, the very holy parasha. Ayichi is the first Chazak. The Birchos Yaakov, it's the Petir of Yaakov Avinu. When Yaakov Avinu died, Chazal tells us it wasn't only Yaakov who died. When Yaakov died, as long as Yaakov was alive, it was Ki'ilu Avraham and Yitzhak were alive. Yaakov was the combination of Avraham and Yitzhak. Avraham was Chesed, Yitzhak was Din, Yaakov was an Isholem. He brought together the best, the balance of Chesed is love, Yira is the Abbas and Nida. Yaakov Avinu, he brought together the best of both. As long as Yaakov Avinu was alive, to some degree, it was Kilu that Avraham and Yitzhak were alive. When Yaakov Avinu died, it was Kilu all three of us died. It was the end of a tkuf in the Klal Yisrael. And we will live this, when we come to this parasha, we were coming to an end of a major tkuf. It's a very emotionally charged moment, this week's parasha, the Betir of Yaakov Avinu. And that's why it's Chazak. We have to be Chazak ourselves at this moment in time. It's also the first parasha after Asar B'Teves. Asar B'Teves, we mentioned yesterday, is after. It's really after the Yom Yimei Hadin. The Yimei Hadin stretch from Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, Hashanah Rabbah, Chanukah, Asar B'Teves, many is the time when the Nebuchadnezzar laid siege to the Yerushalayim. It's already we discussed yesterday, 98 days. 98 days is the number of the klolos in the Mishneh Torah. It's the Gemara. It's the Yom Hadin. It's a new tkufa coming into Parshas Vayechi. Now, there's a very beautiful remes that this week is a shas. Whenever it's difficult, whenever the waters are rough, HaKadosh Baruch Hu he helps us by granting us an extra dosage of rachamim. Pasuk in Tehillim, Perek Kuf Vav, Pasuk Mem Vav, V'yitein oisam l'rachamim lifnei kol shoyveihem. Hashem will grant them for mercy before all of their captors, the people that make problems for them. Now we're going into Parsha Shemos, the Parsha of Golos. After Asar B'Teves, Yaakov in his Betira, we now find ourselves in very difficult times. Hashem will grant them rachm. The word shoyveihem, this very beautiful remez, is roshei tevos, not in perfect order, ve'ele shemos b'nei Yisrael haboim mitzrayma. Again, shin vav beis yud hey mem. Ve'ele shemos b'nei Yisrael haboim mitzrayma. The pasuk says Hashem will grant shoyveihem. Hashem will grant klal Yisrael lerachamim lifnei the parsha of Eile Shemos. The parsha of Vayechi, when we have to deal with the petira of Yaakov Avinu, which captures the petira of the Avos, which is the kufa of Asar B'Teves, the beginning of the Churban. Do not worry, do not despair, because the Shparuch was there, he's there to mechazik us, lifnei kol shoyveihem. Now along that theme, this Shabbos in the Hasidish Sfarim is also called Shabbos Chizuk. This Shabbos Chazak, there are five times a year, Chazak, Chazak, Venis, Chazek, that is after the end of the five Chumashim. But Parshas Vayechi has a special status, more so than the other four times, called Shabbos Chizuk. Why is it called Shabbos Chizuk? Three times this week do we focus on the word Venis Chazek. First time when we finish the parasha, Chazak, Chazak, Venis Chazek. The second time is when Yosef comes to visit his father, Vayischazek Yisrael, Vayeshev al Hamita. And the third mention of Vayischazek is the Haftorah. The Haftorah describes Yaakov's, David's last will and testament. When Yaakov Avinu, he prepares his son Shlomo HaMelech for Malchus, Vayikrivu Yimei David Lamus, Vayitzav Eshlomo Beno Leimor, Anochi Holech, Bedeach Kol Aretz, Vichozakta. You shall strengthen yourself v'hoyisolo ish. Three times chizok. V'achut ha-mishulosh loy b'mehera yinotek. Chazak, chazak, v'nis chazek. V'yis chazek yishol v'yeshev al hamita. V'chozakta v'hoyisolo ish. Now let's go a step further. There are three different types of chizok. When Yaakov Avinu told his son, Yosef, I want you, v'yis chazek yishol v'yeshev al hamita, Rashi there says, what was he doing? To give kavod l'malchus. Even though he is my son, even though the one that's coming to visit me is my son, I have no obligation to show him honor, but Yosef is the Melech. And there's an obligation, the person has to give cover to the Malchus. In the Haftarah, it's David giving chizuk to his son Shlomo. And so what are those two types of chizuk? Well, Yaakov, Vayischazek, is you have to be mechazek your superiors. You can't, you have to, even Rabbonim, Gedolim, also need chizik. The Malchus needs chizik. A citizen has to be mechazek, vayischazek Yisro, vayeshev al hamita.
Yeshua also chazek, Yehu Yashkilah, Israel, that's the same.
Similarly, you have to mechazek your leaders. You have to give chizik to your superiors. In the Haftarah, it is a father giving chizik to a son. It is, you have to be mechazek your dependents, people that rely upon you. And then when we say chazak, chazak, v'nis, chazek, when we finish the parasha, we're giving chizik to ourselves. And the message is, there are three types of chizik. You have to be mechazek your superiors, your parents, your rabbanim, your leaders. You have to mechazek your dependents, your children, your talmidim, people that rely upon you. And you also need to mechazek yourself. Shabbos chizuk. This is not just Shabbos chazak, it's Shabbos chizuk. Chazak, chazak, v'nis chazek, v'yis chazek, yishol, yishol, amito, v'chazak, v'yisul ish. Three types of chizuk in this world which are necessary. And when you have all three types, v'achut ha-meshulish, lo yimher yinotek, you're set to go. Shabbos chizuk, not just Shabbos chazak. Okay, and that's a short word, not just an interesting idea. By Shabbos Chazak, when you finish a Chumash, don't we all know that when you go to a Siyum of a Masechta, you always begin the next Masechta? So why don't we lay in the Shabbos morning, after we finish Chumash Bereishis, why don't we begin Chumash Shemos? Isn't that a good question? You go to a Siyum, you always see, oh, we start. You go to Siyum HaShas, so the Mechabe, someone with the Siyum, and it's the Mechabe and someone with the Haskhala. Right? What? You're not going to Siyum HaShas? What?
You only do that because it's Simchas Torah we do it.
Oh, exactly. That adds to the question. Simchas Torah, you sign the Torah, so you start Chosin Bereishis. So the question is, so why don't we do it? So the answer is, we do it by Mincha. By Mincha. The answer is the opposite. Since we do it by Mincha, so that's Yimekayim, the Satan is not Mekatri, because by Mincha, we begin the next Chumash Shemos. It's only on Simchas Torah, which doesn't have to fall out on Shabbos. It can, in Chutz Li'aretz, it can occasionally, but since Simchas Torah, according to the calendar, does not have to fall out Shabbos on Shabbos, so there will be no Mincha when you lay in Bereishis. So that's why B'davka on Simchas Torah, we have to have a Chosin Torah, Chosin Bereishis, to start the Torah again. Okay, let's go to another idea. Okay, we mentioned before this idea, Anochi Achalkel Eschem. So Rabbi Maevsky pointed out that this is a very big tzviya on Yosef Avinu. There's one mahalach, where Yosef, when the brothers, after Yaakov Avinu died, they came back, they saw that things were not all the same. Yosef was not as chipper with his brothers as in the good old days. So they got nervous. They got nervous that maybe now Yosef will take revenge for the Mechira. Maybe he will no longer support them. So Yosef says to the brothers, don't worry, you didn't do anything bad to me, it was all for the best. Hashem decided this had to happen, so we'll be supported. And Anochi Achalkel Eschem V'Estapchem. So Remeski mentioned that some of the Mefarshim are very critical of Yosef. He should not have said Anochi. Who are you to say I? You don't say that. You have to be very careful in your words. Don't be noig b'rabbanus. Very, very delicate. However, other commentators, where did I see this? I saw this. I don't remember where I saw this. I apologize. I can't remember. But I saw this idea. It's not exactly what I saw. So it's a shtickle shinui, a koine with a ganaf. It's koine with a shinui. Alright, you say a little bit different. You say a little bit different. It's not exactly what Hashem said. A little bit different. But the idea is, let's compare. We have a situation where Yosef's brothers were scared that they would starve to death. Here we are in Egypt, a foreign land. We're not citizens, we're just guests, and we're subject to your goodwill. If you decide not to support us, we're dead. We're going to be slaves like everyone else. We're in a lot of trouble. There'll be a famine. When did this situation happen? Happened not so long ago. When Yosef came to Egypt, there was also a famine. Paro had a dream. He had two dreams. He told the dream to Yosef, and Yosef says, Paro got bad news. There's going to be a famine. We're all going to die. The whole world's going to starve to death. There's going to be a famine. And Yosef says, but don't worry, the Ribbono Shel Olam will take care of everything. Elokim Yaneh Es Shalom Paro. Hashem has a solution. There's going to be a famine, but the Ribbono Shel Olam is here to save the day. He's sending you these dreams in order to tell you to appoint in advance a person in charge, a successful, business-oriented individual, a leader that will guide us through these hard times. So why is it that when Egypt suffered, was about to suffer from starvation, Yosef was very religious? Elokim, not me, the Ribbono Shel Olam, he'll provide parnasa. But when his own brothers come and say, we're going to starve to death, we're in eighth sorrow, what's going to be? All of a sudden Yosef says, not the Ribbono Shel Olam, it's me. Anochi achal keleschem. I'm going to support you. So some of the farshim want to put a very positive twist on this and tell you that's exactly the point. That when it comes to your relatives, when it comes mebisorcha al tisalim, when it comes to your brother, when it comes to your relative, when it comes to your good friend, toiv, a friend that's a close friend and a brother that's far away, when it comes to people that you're close, don't be so religious. Don't be other. Elokim yane es shalom paro. Oh, I'm going to take care of you. Don't be so religious. You become God. It's a good thing to make believe you're the Ribbono Shel Olam when it comes to do someone else a chesed. When Yosef was just a guy, what was he? He was a nothing. He was in prison. He was in the dungeon, sitting in prison in the dungeon. And Paro over here, he's taken from as a nothing from a dungeon to Paro. Then you can talk religious. Are you going to make me the leader? I'm a nothing over here. Of course you're going to appoint someone else to take care of the problem. Then you can talk religious talk from the pulpit, Elokim Yane Es Shalom Paro. But when it's your problem and it's your relatives, don't become a religious fanatic. Be an apikoris. When there's a problem, when there's a tzara, make believe there's no Ribbono Shel Olam. Take matters into your own hands. It's a very powerful Musar Vart. Okay, we have this parasha, Yaakov giving the brachas, another vart from Rav Moshe. This is a very, very profound idea. Rav Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu, and what it means, I don't know exactly what it means. You have to develop this on your own. Food for thought. Yaakov Avinu takes in front of him the two grandchildren, Ephraim and Menashe. And Menashe is on the right, and Ephraim is on the left. Sikel es yadav. He switches his hands. He wants to put the right hand on the head of Ephraim, even though Menashe was the Bukhar, because the younger brother, Yigdal, he's going to become greater than Menashe. Greater people will come from Ephraim. Yoshua will come from Ephraim, whereas only Gidoin will come from Menashe. Menela Sikel es yadav. So the question of Moshe, yes, not only Rav Moshe, is, so a bracha is the bracha. It doesn't make a difference. You put the right hand, the left hand, you Sikel es yadav. You're giving a bracha. You're giving a bracha. Hamalach ha-golosim yikolro yivarech ha-sana orim. It makes a difference. Simchas Torah. Everyone is fashtuping their children under the talus. It makes a difference if the kid is over here, the kid is over there. Where the kid is, they say hamalach ha-golosim. As long as you're in shul, you're under the talus, you're not under the talus. What's going on over here? You're switching your hand. What's going on over here? Rav Moshe says an incredible chiddush. Whoever gets the right hand gets whichever one of the two children gets the right hand is getting kavod. It will be said about them for all generations that Yaakov rested his right hand upon this person's head, and the other one only gets the left hand. It is part of a bracha. Again, this is very deep, and I don't know what it means. But obviously, there's an enormous step in this idea. Part of giving a person a bracha is to be mechabed him. In other words, if you go to people in Eretz Yisrael, people that line up for brachas, people they go to gedolim. It's a beautiful thing. I'm not coming to anything chas v'shalom negative. You go for a bracha. You go to people you never saw before. You never will see again. You don't plan ever seeing again. They don't know from you from nothing. And you go in and you meisa nefesh bracha. It's a very good thing. I'm not coming to say anything bad. Adarava, I do this, and everyone should do this. But that's not really what a bracha is. Part of a bracha is kovod, is being mechabed the person. Being mechabed the person means, I know who you are. I appreciate who you are. I know your potential. I recognize you are unique. There's something special about you. And now that we have laid out the foundation has been set. There's me and there's you. I am who I am, you are who you are, I know what you represent, your koichos. Now, let me you do the best I can to bless you. Built into a bracha is the concept of kavod. And if that ingredient is missing, then the quality of the bracha is lacking. And the proof is, Rav Moshe, it's all Rav Moshe speaking, the proof is, why is it such a big deal, the right hand, the left hand, the two of them are there together, so just put your hands, whatever, you're giving a bracha. Hamalach HaGolus, Yivorech HaSanarim. That's not a bracha. Bracha is covered. I appreciate that this child, Ephraim, I appreciate who he is. I appreciate his potential. Menashe has different potential, and therefore, he deserves kavod. And I'm going to give him the kavod as a prerequisite or as to accompany the bracha I want to give. And that is a very big nafkamin. When people give a bracha to their children, you give a bracha to your friends, you give a bracha, you go to a chasna, you go, you know, brachas, today brachas are just very loose. Everyone is very loose. I'll give a bracha, give me a bracha, blah, 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 blah. This is not what a bracha is. A bracha involves kavod. And kavod is something we all take very seriously.
Yeah,
we take a kavod much more serious than we take the meaning of a bracha. They have to be integrated. What?
When you do shema brachas, on the side of the street, you're giving kavod to the person that's giving the bracha.
Okay, nechnami. I'm not going into the enoch.
Giving kavod back to the chasen.
Okay, or whatever it is. I'm just throwing out an idea. You develop the idea on your own, but this is what Rav Moshe says, and there's something very profound here. Profound and deep in this idea.
Rabbi Levy,
yeah.
Second thing to check over here, the Barbara Nelmet, which is the thought. The reason he says, Kel Shaka Nirei Lai Beluz Be'eretz Kanan, why does he have to say Nirei Lai Beluz? Because, very simple, he says, why is Ephraim Menashe Kirubein Yishimon Yuli? Because what did God say to him beliefs? It says, Hinani Mafracha Vihir Bisicha. So the remez to Ephraim from the word Mafracha. Right. So that's why he says, you know, Ephraim Ruben Vishimon Yiyuli, these are
Ribu,
my sons. Because Yaakov was, in actuality, he says very interestingly that Yaakov was destined to have two more children. That's what he said, Hinani Mafracha Vihir Bisicha. But he didn't have two more children, but these are my two. I'm adopting these as the two extra shvatim.
Very nice.
But at the end of the parasha, Vayar Yosef Lefraim B'nei Shilei Shim, the bracha manifested itself in that pasuk, because why Gam B'nei Mochir Ben Menashe Yildu Aburke Yosef? Because the bracha was less than Menashe.
Then what's so Ephraim?
Only half his shevet got the hashpa from Yaakov, but Ephraim got the right
more.
Hand. So it just says Ephraim, period.
Okay, very good, very good. Yeah.
We go by there. Everything's Minashimai. We went to visit someone this morning.
Yeah.
He's never homebound most of the time. And he related to us an anecdote. He went to see Lubavitcher Rebbe. And he said he sat with maybe 20 minutes. And he had the feeling that the Rebbe was speaking only to him. So, like, technically, the bracha he got was like
covered. Before you give the bracha, you have to be mechabed the person. Yeah. The bracha has to have bichal. I'm covered. That's what it means.
Right.
What is covered? It's a dangerous word. It's an abused word. It's a misunderstood word. But this is what Rav Moshe says. Okay, let's go to another idea. A quick, very short idea. This is an idea you only can say in a koilel. You only can say this in a koilel. This word from the Gedal Yeshua. This does not go well for Balabatan.
It's on the website.
What? No one listens, don't worry.
There's no cover.
This var is only Balabatan do not like this var, but the Koil Yungalite, typically Koil Yungalite cannot survive. They cannot, they don't have what to eat, they don't know where their next meal is coming from, they don't know how they got themselves in this situation where they don't know what's going to be tomorrow. But they're still in Koilel. They're coming to the storm, they're coming to learn. So this is Merumis in the Birchas Yaakov. Who is the Koil Yungaman in Birchas Yaakov? Yisachar, we discussed this yesterday. Yisachar, some say it's Naftali also, but Yisachar. Yisachar, Chamor Gorem, Reveit Spedemish Masai, Vayam Yuchel Kitoiv, Vayet Shichma Lisbol, Vayihi Reima, the last is Vayet. Vayihi Lemas Oved. He was Lemas to carry a hard worker. An Oved to carry a mass. Mass means
weight.
The weights. Mass are two letters. Mem and Samach. We know in the Luchos, Mem v'Samach shebeluchos b'neis hoyu oivdim. Survives on miracles. Moifsef, because it's hal all the way around. So the Rabbi Gedal Yeshua told us, Talmidim, the bracha of Yisachar is v'yihi l'mas oiveid. You'll survive on nisim. Al derech hatev and koilul, you can't make it. The only way you can make it in koilul is Mem v'Samach shebeluchos b'neis. You have to attach yourself to the luchos, and once you're in the luchos, no, you'll survive. B'neis hayu
aimdim. I heard
yeah.
Every yeshiva has a malach who's b'muna that they don't make more than 60% of the money they need.
There we go.
A malach b'muna
that makes sure that the yeshiva does, or the kollel does not get more than 60%
of what they're supposed to get. The malach and shemayim to make it hard. 60%. Okay, let's go. A mas oyved. It's a good vart. Lamas a taskmaster. Lamas kaved. You have to be oyved. A mas. As long as the tanai. The tanai is it's the men the samach shebeluchos. You have to attach yourself to the luchos to the Torah. You attach to the Torah, then you'll be oyved b'nisim. Okay, let's go to the next. The next vart. Now, this is a serious vart. And this is a controversial vart. I want to tell you now is not. I saw there are two different parts of the vart. They're not really related. Yaakov Avinu, at the end of the parasha, the brothers come to Yosef and they try to apologize the best that they can. They say to him that we want to be your slave, and your father, before he died, he gave instruction to tell you that you should not have tainus on us. It was a big mistake. The words are very touchy. How the brothers try to apologize very delicately to Koy Samu Yosef Ona Sona Pesha Achecha Vichatasam Kiroa Gimolucha Viato Sona Lefesha Avde Eloke Avicha Vayef Yosef Damamilov. Okay. How does Yosef respond? Vayomer Aleim Yosef Al Tirohu Ki Hasacha Selokimoni. Am I in the place of God? And these are very choice words. Why did Yaakov Avinu, Yosef choose the words Ki asachas Elokim ani? So I saw this in more than one place that the only other place these words were used in the Torah is Yaakov to Rachel. Rachel bitterly complains to Yaakov, Havoli banim v'im ayin mesa anochi. I want children, and if you don't give children, I'm good as dead. So Yaakov gets angry. How do you? That's how you talk to me. Ki asachas elokim anochi ki ashamani mona mimecha privatem. Do you think I'm in the place of mimech privatem? Do you think I'm in the place ki asachas elokim anochi? So what is the deeper meaning? So basic. So I didn't see this mamish in the sefer, but I saw this pretty close to this idea is. It's you got to be very careful what you do in your life because it'll always come back to haunt you. Not necessarily in your lifetime, your children or your grandchildren may be paying your debts. In other words, what happened over here in this pasuk? Rachel was obviously very jealous of Leah. Whatever that means, like jealous, but was disturbed. Leah has children. She has all of these children. She had six children ultimately, seven children with Dinah, and Rachel has nothing. Rachel is bitter, so she says to Yaakov Avinu. Havali banim v'imayin meisanochi. Yaakov, Chazal criticized Yaakov. He should have been more gentle to Rachel. Rachel was suffering greatly.
Sympathetic.
More sympathetic. Have some more empathy for Rachel. You should not have not been so harsh and say, Ki atachas elokim anochi. You think I'm God? What do you think I am? Too bad for you. It's not my problem. It's not my problem. I am not God. Go take your problem go take it somewhere. It's not my problem. That's not the way Yaakov Avinu should have spoken to a bitter woman who wanted children. And why was she bitter? Because her tsar, her co-wife, Leah, Leah had children. What happened years later? Years later, Rachel ultimately had two children. And Rachel had two children, and Leah, and Leah, her descendants, now her children are now coming to the children of Rachel, and it's reversed. It's reversed. The roles are reversed. The one now who is in an eighth Sarah are the children of Leah, And the one that's dominant, the one that's dominant is the B'nai Rachel. And now it's just the opposite. The words of Hasachas Elokim Anochi are being used towards the opposite party. And be very careful. This was something that Yosef said to them, but in the big master plan of creation, there's always a day of accounting. There's always the Yom Hadin. The tsar of Rachel was rectified. She suffered from the words Hasachas Elokim Anochi because of the B'nai Leah. And now the time came where it happened, where Yosef was the one who said those exact same words, her child, to the source, to the children of the one whom was the source of her tsar, when they were now in a time of difficulty. And that's one idea. Now let's use the idea of the springboard to discuss something that's more fundamental. What kind of expression is this? Hasachas Elokim Anochi. Am I in the place of God? Yosef could have chosen many things to say in response to his brothers. Next question. Did Yosef ever forgive his brothers? This is a major dilemma which is not resolved. Rabbeinu Bechaye says he did not. He did not. There are other Rishonim that say that he did. It's not all clear. If you read the Pesukim very carefully, nowhere does it say that Yosef Avinu ever forgave his brothers. And many argue that it's...
say that they never asked him for mechila until after Yaakov died.
They're not even there that they ask him for his food. On the... indirect. You don't ask, you're not going to get. You want mechila, speak up. You have to ask mechila the right way. That's exactly the point I want to try to make over here. There was no, according to some say that even if they would ask mechila, there are certain things that there's no mechila for. There are certain things I can be mechil, and there are things that you've done against a kodesh baruch hu, which is not for me to be mechil. There's a very complicated matter of how far mechila goes, and there's a big machlokes rishonim, did he, did he not. Let's work with the approach of Rabbeinu Bechaye that says he did not. And let's ask the question, why not? So I saw in a sefer written up Maimarim from Rav Yosha Ber Salavetchik Zechet Tzadik Levracha. What I'm saying you now, it does not say exactly what it says there, but I believe the roots, the Shorosh, what I'm about to tell you, is really rooted in the words of Rav Yosha Ber Salavetchik. And he says, when you come and do an Avera, you could sin against Hashem, and you could sin against your fellow man. And then the time comes, Erev Yom Kippur, you want a Mechila, you have Mephais, your friend Mephais Kodesh Baruch Hu. The way you ask Hashem forgiveness, is that the way you ask your fellow man forgiveness? You go to Hashem, you say, oh no, slachna, slachna, forgive us. All the various expressions, avina malkeinu chatanu lefanech, avina malkeinu elin melchun lo'ata, chatasi avisi pashati. There is a way, Chazal have given us a formula to confess and to ask Hashem forgiveness for our sins. Is Chazal have not given us, I'm not, maybe they haven't, but it's not as elaborate, a formula to ask forgiveness from your fellow man for sinning against him. Is it the same or not? And he basically says, well, he doesn't say, but basically what appears to come from his words is, there's a major difference between asking Hashem for forgiveness and asking your fellow friend. What's the difference? When you come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we appreciate deep down that we have no understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not possible for a human being to truly relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem reveals himself, we follow in his midos, mahu rachem av atarachem, but when the day is over, we don't relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when you ask forgiveness from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what you do is, in essence, this is the key word of Rav Yosha Ber Soloveitchik, you surrender. That's the word he uses. Surrender. You take the white flag, I surrender. When you ask mechila from your friend, do you surrender? Absolutely not. The goal of asking mechila from your friend is, you're not God. You, my friend, you're not God. You're a human being. Therefore, I can understand where you're coming from. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I have no clue. He's kula ruchni. I do my best. I follow the mitzvos. I follow his midos. But when the day is over, I surrender. But my fellow man, you're part of this world just like me. You have needs. You have emotions. I can relate to you. I have rebelled. I have done an avla. I've done something terrible to you. I've insulted you. There is a. It's possible for me, in my mind, to put myself in your position and to see where you're coming from and to see why what I have done to you was wrong and to have charata and apologize and repair the damage and bring myself into your world and make amends and we can work together. I could appreciate who you are and appreciate where you come from and your situation and how things have evolved. That's a major difference. When your friend has insulted you, you don't want him to come and say to you, "I surrender," because surrender means, I hate your guts. I don't want to know from you. You're dead wrong. But listen, you are more powerful than me. You're over me. You're in control. I wasn't permitted to do what I've done to you, so I surrender. I'll be your slave. I'll do whatever you want. But in my heart, I don't hold from you. I don't want to know from you. Due to the circumstances, I have no choice but to surrender. Do you feel good when a friend comes to you and surrenders? Well, if it's a war, maybe you're very happy when you're in a war. But when you're dealing with your chaverim, you don't want surrender. You want there to be a type of mechila where there is an understanding. This is the mussar that Yosef gave his brothers, why he never forgave them. The whole problem was, this goes back to what we discussed 2 weeks ago, Ani Yosef. Yosef was desperately trying, giving away signs to his brothers that they should recognize that this is Yosef. He wanted them to say, Ata Yosef, you are Yosef. Why do they never see the obvious in front of them? Because they just didn't hold from him. The brothers did not hold from Yosef. They saw Yosef when they were children. They thought he was a roidev. They never imagined that a person like Yosef can become the Mishnah Lamelech. They just don't hold from him. And because they don't hold from him, they were blinded to realize that standing in front of them is this person who was their actual brother. They could not come to a madrega of Ata Yosef. It had to only be Ani Yosef. And they were in shock. Okay, we couldn't. But now they're living for 17 years with their father Yaakov Avinu. They're all reunited. And they get to see firsthand what a great person Yosef is. Maybe now the brothers, they failed already once by selling him. They failed twice by not saying Ata Yosef. But now they're 17 years in Egypt living with him. They can come to appreciate his godless. He's not like them. He doesn't wear a strimal. He doesn't daven their nusach. He doesn't follow their hashkafa. He's involved in government. But he's a great person. At least they should have come to appreciate who this person is. Who this person is. Appreciate, put them in his mind. And yet, when their father dies, what do? Yosef, we've sinned. The nusach over here is the nusach Yiseta HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We surrender. Here's the white flag. We surrender. We'll be a slave. We'll be a slave. Well, here's the white flag. Ono slachno la'om hazeh. Forgive these people. They're talking to Yosef like they're talking to God. And Yosef says, Strike three. Hatachas Elokim Anochi. By saying Hatachas Elokim Anochi, what he's basically saying is, I don't forgive you. It's not just Stam Rabbeinu Bechaya. I'm saying something very controversial. I'm saying worse than Rabbeinu Bechaya. Rabbeinu Bechaya is a Rishon, but I'm saying, I don't forgive you. Because that's not how you ask Mechila. You're talking to me like you're talking to the Rebbeinu Shem. This is not really more. Rabbi Yosher Ber really says the Shoroshim of these things. You're talking to me like you're talking to the Rebbeinu Shalom. That's not what you're supposed to do. You talk to me like a human being. I want you to be my slave. What, are you crazy? I don't want you to be my slave. I want you to be my brother. But to be my brother, you should come to appreciate me for who I am. This already is the third time you failed to make this mistake.
Well, I could say that for the 17 years, the only reason they related to him was because Yaakov was old.
Exactly. But
everything,
but now,
nice because Yaakov,
but now they see him in action. They see him in action for 17 years. Yosef expected by now you would come to appreciate my hashkof is different. There was
only
a major... What?
Only because Yaakov... If Yaakov had died 12 years earlier, 5 years earlier...
Yeah.
They would have had the same time. Maybe they thought the whole thing was a show just to keep peace in the family.
Okay, but if you're a real person, then you can. It's not a show. You know what's behind under the hood. You know what's under the hood. This is the deeper meaning of what's happening over here. They're coming to him. They're using nuschos that are not proper. Ona avichot sivul ifnei moso. Your father, forgive us. Like saying zuchosavos, like zuchor la Avraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov. Rebbeinu Shlom, don't do it for us. Do it for the others. Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. The Shvatim say, forgive us, not because of us, because of Yaakov Avinu, forgive us. And we'll be your slave, and we surrender. What are you doing? That's not what you're dealing with me as if I'm God. This is the approach you use to ask mechila from the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's not the approach you use to ask mechila from a person, from your friend. From your friend you can relate to. You can understand where they're coming from if you appreciate who they are. You don't want to appreciate. You refuse to appreciate. You didn't appreciate me in the very beginning when you sold me as a slave. You didn't appreciate who I was when you came down to Mitzrayim and I was giving you a million hints that I'm Yosef because you couldn't cholmzach that our brother can be a melech, couldn't possibly be. An oisvarf can become a melech, couldn't possibly be. And now after 17 years and seeing me in action, seeing what a great person I am, no chamal. You talk to me like I'm a god. I have to surrender. Hatachas. Guess what? I don't forgive you.
And did he reach out to them?
What?
Did he reach out to them?
He surely did. He certainly did. Certainly did. Absolutely.
He said, I don't forgive. He said, you talk to me like God.
Which basically means you people just don't get it. You don't get it.
Yes, God. Don't tell you.
Your whole approach, he's telling him, your whole approach towards Mechila is dead wrong. You're dead. You just don't get it. Third time you don't get it, and therefore you're not. I can only give you mechila if you ask for mechila. You don't want mechila. Exactly. This is what. Exactly. This is the problem in society. 100% that one group in Klaus or segment, one individuals and segments, no two people think like. People are wired. Their minds are wired differently. You see this. The older you get, the more you see this. You can't convince a person of a different hashkaf, a different shita. It's just in the blood. It's in the brain. It's in the DNA. That's the way Hashem made people. There are different types of people, different types of hashkafas. So you can't convince a person to one universal hashkafa. You have to appreciate people for who they are. And this goes back to Yosef and his brothers. And the brothers refused to ever accept Yosef to the very, very end. The best they came was, we surrender, we're stuck, white flag, we surrender. Oh, you want to make me into a god? I'm not a god. I'm your brother. And if the Yaakov is your brother, there's no forgiveness.
You know that Yosef didn't meet Yaakov while he was in Mitzrayim until the end?
Yeah.
Is it possible he didn't speak with the brothers until the end?
We know, they're mere midrashim. No, the pashas says he did. They're midrashim. He sat by his table all 17 years. The pashas, they were all... They sat by the table all the time. Okay, let's go to another short few ideas. Okay, here's a beautiful rabbi friend. What? Yeah.
In that passage, at the end that you're referring to, it says sciences. By Yitzavosh El Yosef Leimor, Abichat Siva Levneim Asaf.
They spoke directly. It's exactly the point. The point is,
they
want their cover through a messenger. They wanted to.
Well, English simply said they instructed that Yosef.
I took the cover.
Instructed.
Okay, let's go to another quick idea. We have here Yosef Ephraim.
Want me to come home? Okay, come right home. Where are you going?
Okay, we have here Ephraim and Menashe. I saw a short.
I'll pick them up. Okay. It's 11:30 now. Okay, call him and tell him I'll be there. Can't make this up.
Okay, we have Ephraim and Menashe. Ephraim and Menashe receive the brachas. The question is, Rabbi Friend, he says a homiletic, he quotes this in the name of others, he doesn't quote a name. But the question is, we know that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Mimnei Shaloi Beruchu Ba Torah Techila. There are many interpretations of what exactly that means. They didn't recite Birchas HaTorah in the morning. He says very posh. It means we learn from this week's parsha. There were two grandchildren, Ephraim and Menashe. Who is Ephraim? Ephraim was the Talmud Chacham. Ephraim was the one that told Yosef that his father was ill. Why? Because Rashi tells us Ephraim sat and learned by Yaakov Avinu daily. He learned in Yaakov Avinu's koilel. So when Yaakov Avinu was not feeling well, it was Ephraim that went and reported to Yosef. Menashe is always the ish. And back in Parshas Mikates and Parshas Vayigash is always an ish. Is going back and forth. This was Yosef's assistant. He was training him to take his place in government. So Yosef's koichas, Yosef, which was able to capture, to synthesize Torah and Gedula, but Makom Echad, and the next generation already was broken up. It was not the same Madrega. It had to be divided. There was Ephraim and Menashe. Ephraim excelled in the Ruchnius of Yosef, and Menashe, who served in the political role, in the leadership role, financial role of Yaakov. Yosef, when he wanted to give bracha, wanted the Yaakov to give a bracha to his two great children. Who did he want to get the first bracha? Menashe. Menashe was the businessman. Yaakov Avinu taught Klal Yisrael, even though it's true, im ein kemach, ein Torah, and even though it's true that in this week's parasha, and both here and next week's parasha, in the parasha Zusa Bracha, Zevulon comes before Yisachar, Smach Zevulon b'teisecha v'Yisachar b'haylecha, Avada, when it comes to covet in this world, Zevulon gets the covet. Gets the gashmis, gets the covet, there's nothing to talk about, it's Raios, Brutus, all over the place, Zevulon always comes first. But when it comes to the Bracha, oh, very good. When it comes to the bracha, Yaakov Avinu taught, good, the order may come first, but the Iker bracha goes to the Torah, goes to Ephraim, who represents the Koyach HaTorah. That's Sikel Es Yadav. This was the message. In the time of the Beis HaMikdash, Mais Avos Sim Labanim, this is the Kate, this is all part of what's rumors in this week's parasha, Almo of the Haaretz, no one knew the answer. No one could figure out what the answer was. They searched and searched and searched. And they asked the Malachim, they asked the Shemayim V'Aretz, they asked all the Talmidei Chachamim, until Hashem says, I'll tell you the secret. Sheloi Berachoi Batoira Tchila. It goes back to Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov was Sikil Es Yadav. The hand, the right hand, goes on Ephraim. The bracha goes first to Ephraim. The priority has to be the Koyach HaTorah. The priority cannot be the Koyach of Mammon. This was the Chochma, the Sikil of Yaakov Avinu, and this was the Seichel that was lacking during the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. This is the Berachu Batar Tchilu of this week's parasha. Okay, let's go to another Vart. Okay, this Vart, it's chaviv to me at least. In the end of the parasha, there's two psukim which are very mysterious, and only Rashi in Parasha Shemos tells what the two psukim really mean. Two psukim in the parasha, Yosef gives over the pekida. Vayem Yosef elochiv, anochi meis, ve'elokim, pakoid yifkoid eschem. I'm giving you the code. I'm giving you the key. The code, the special code that you're going to know the geula is here, to know who the real Mashiach is. It's the words Pakod Yifkod Eschem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will remember you. Ve'helo Eschem Yemin Aretz Hazos Elaretz Asher Nishpa La'avraham Elisak Yaakov. Okay? This is what Yosef says. This is what he says. Pakod Yifkod. Then that's Pasuk Chof Dalet. And then, shockingly, in Pasuk Chof it says exactly the same thing. Vayash Ba Yosef Es B'nei Yisrael Le'mar Pakod Yifkod Elokim Eschem V'halisen Es Atzmo Saimi Zeh. What's going on? Repetition. If you write this, you wouldn't pass the course for writing these two psukim which repeat the same concept twice. Redundancy, superfluous. What's going on here? So the answer is Rashi answers this question. Rashi in Parashat Shemos, when Moshe Rabbeinu Hashem says to Moshe, I'll give you the code. The code is Sefer Kod Yifkod, and Rashi Shteltsu Parashat Vayechi, and it says it was already said twice. It was said by Yaakov and by Yosef. In other words, there are two separate traditions for Mashiach. The first pasuk, a pasuk of Dalit, is the Yaakov. Yosef is passing on to his brothers and to his children the Mesorah from the Ovis. The Mashiach will come with the words Pakod Yifkot. And then Yaakov and pasuk of Hey, Rashi says in Parashat Shemos, repeats of, guess what? I also figured this out on my own. Even though I have a Messiah from the Avos of how Mashiach will come through Pakod Yifkod, I also figured that out. How did I figure it out? It came to whatever that means. He repeats the Pasuk of Vayash by Yosef Es B'nei Yisrael Lemar, Pakod Yifkod Lekim Eschem V'Halisem Es Asmus Samza. That's why there's repetition. There is an appreciation of the Geula within the Messiah, and there's an appreciation of the Geula from yourself. And that itself is a very powerful limut. That when it comes to believing, you have a mooning in the coming of Mashiach and the Geula, you have to have a double emuna. You have an emuna that you carry with you from the Avos, from Yaakov Avinu, and then there's something personal. There's a personal Geula. You have to appreciate that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring you personal Geula. That itself is a davar shon. That's a complete vart. It's Pasha Rashi based explains on the pasuk, but I think there's something much deeper. there's a very big difference between the Messiah from Yaakov Avinu and the Messiah of Yosef. What's the difference? Where is Hashem's name? When the first pasuk of Da'al appears, it says Ve'elokim Pokod Yifkod. Hashem's name comes first. Elokim Pokod Yifkod Eschem. When Yosef reveals his personal Messiah, he says, "Vayashba Yosef es Meisrael Ema Pakod Yifkod Elokim." Hashem comes after. Comes after. So what's going on? So to this, let's go to a pasuk. We say every single day, twice a day, "Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Asher Tseis Yeschem Eretz Mitzrayim Lios Lachem Elokim, Ani Hashem Elokeichem." We have Yitzias Mitzrayim. Yitzias Mitzrayim is the template for Geula. Asher Hotzeis Yeschem Eretz Mitzrayim. I'm taking you out of Egypt. Asher Hotzeis Yeschem Eretz Mitzrayim Lios Lachem Elokim. And Geula, redemption, is sandwiched between Ani Hashem Elokeichem before and Ani Hashem Elokeichem after. You ever notice this when you say Kriya Shema? Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Then we have Geula. Asher Hotzeis Yeschem Eretz Mitzrayim Lios Lachem Elokim. And Nochemol, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. What's going on? So Rav Shimon Schwab comes to the answer. Rav Shimon Schwab, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, tells us that's why you say the word emes after you say this pasuk. Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Asher Tzeis Yeschem Mi'eretz Mishrem Liyoschem Elokim. Then you say, Nochma Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Emes. What's emes? It's a pasuk also, Hashem Elokeichem emes. But why emes? The two Ani Hashem Elokeichems are the same. Emes doesn't just mean it's true. It's true means in life there are two...
The meaning of emes is...
They're both the same.
Right.
They're both the same. But in other words, there's sometimes when Hashem is invisible. It's not apparent that He's redeeming you. And then there are times when Hashem performs Nisim Guluyim. There's a Hashem that comes before Hotzeis Yeschem Eretz Mitzrayim when you're in the Shirud Vayimoru Eschayehem Avoyda Kasha. Before the Geula comes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu already is planning. He's also there. He may not be seen, but there's the Hashem that's before the Pakod Yifkot. And then there's a Hashem that you appreciate after the redemption. Asher Tzeis Yaschem Eretz Mitzrayim Lios Lachem Elokim. Oh, now I know. Nisim Guluyim. I have a new appreciation of the Ribbono Shel Olam of Ani Hashem Elokeichem. But Emes, they're the same God. Sometimes Hashem does good for us in hiding, secretly, and sometimes Hashem saves us in the open. Don't make a mistake and think there are two different gods. There's a God that operates al derech hateva, and there's a God that operates l'malim derech hateva. Enes! It's the Zelba God. It's the same God. There's only one HaKadosh Baruch. That's why Rav Shimon Schwab and Shan the Pasuk, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. The Emes is, this word from Rav Shimon Schwab, is really the Pasuk here in this week's Parsha. There are two Pakod Yifkod. Hashem will certainly remember you and will redeem you. There's Elokim Pakod Yifkod, and there's Pakod Yifkod Elokim. Yaakov Avin was in a higher Madrega. He didn't see the Geula. He lived in Mitzrayim. Yaakov, this week's parsha concludes seven major tzaras he had in his life. He had a tzara, I don't remember all the details, he had a tzara with Dina, with Esav, with Lavan, with Shimon and Levi, with the people of Shechem, with Yosef. He had, I don't know if I can't remember missing one. He had
Esav's son.
Eliphaz, that's all part of Esav. That's all part of Esav. Yaakov Avinu had a very difficult life. Yaakov Avinu didn't see the Geula, didn't see Kriyas Yamsof. By him was the Hashem Pakod Yifkod. I know the Ribbono Shel Olam is there even before the Pakod Yifkod. Yosef is the next. He's the American generation, Yosef. He's the next generation. You gotta prove it. You want me to be the rabbi? You want me to join the club? It's Pakod Yifkod. Let's see all the shock and awe. The Yitzias Mitzrayim, Pakod Yifkod, Elokim. Then I'll appreciate the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's both. Yosef Avinu says, don't be fooled. It's the combination. It's Hashem Elokim, Pakod Yifkod, Elokim. It's not the two different Pakod Yifkods. It's just, where does the Hashem go? The combination of Yaakov and Yosef is the equivalent of Hashem Poko Yifkoin Hashem, or Elokim, Poko Yifkoin Elokim, equivalent to Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Then Asher Tseis Yeschem, the Eretz Yeschem Elokim, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, and the message is Emes. It's all the same. It's all the Ribbono Shel Olam. Okay, have a wonderful Shabbos. Shabbos Chazak and a Shabbos Chizuk. A Shabbos of Chazak and a Shabbos of Chizuk.